In May 1869, a one-armed Civil War veteran named John Wesley Powell embarked on one of the last great quests in America. Death Valley and the Rockies had all been explored. They were old news. But there was still one area on the map that just read unexplored. The Grand Canyon. Some said it was impossible to explore. From one end of their expedition in Wyoming to the other end in Arizona, the river route that they were to follow dropped vertically by a mile. By comparison, the Niagara Falls is small fry at only 170 foot high. The river route that they were going to follow dropped from beginning to end by 5,280 foot. And no one knew whether it was a series of waterfalls, one giant waterfall, or rapids all the way. This is a story of courage, strength, teamwork, dedication, hard work, and faith. Faith in their leader and faith in the boats that would get them from one end of this river to the other and keep them alive. It is a story simply called Down the Great Unknown. John Powell, like I said, was a one-armed leader of the expedition. He was accompanied by nine others, a ragtag band of ex-soldiers and mountain men who Powell hand-picked to do the job based on their skills and their experience. Not skills in advanced whitewater rafting or even boating, because none of them had any boating experience whatsoever. The closest to white water that any of them had ever come to was Powell had seen some rapids. There are two most remarkable aspects. That was the first one. The second one was no one knew what type of boat was best suited for white water rafting. Today, they have very lightweight, agile boats that can turn and manoeuvre very easily so you can get into the right place to go down the rapids. They had huge boats that were very strong and very heavy, and they looked where they had been, not where they were going. If they applied to go down the Grand Canyon today, they would not get a permit. They are not experienced enough. We've been called out of this world for a journey. Whereas no one had ever been down the Grand Canyon before, which Powell and his crew were exploring, we have one advantage. Our elder brother has already gone before us. He has overcome the trials and the tribulations and the dangers of this world. He has overcome Satan and qualified to sit and rule on this earth as King of Kings. Today, I want to look at one aspect of Powell's expedition and compare it with our own journey. It is an event that happened right at the end of their journey. So in order to do this, I'll just briefly take you through what these men endured to get right to the end of the Grand Canyon to this one event. On day one, four boats set out from Green River Station. Each boat alone and empty would take four men to carry it. Over time, as the boats got waterlogged, they got heavier. On top of that, they had 3.5 tons of food and equipment. This was, after all, a scientific exploration to map out the Grand Canyon so that others could follow, so that they could know what was up ahead. They had enough food, army rations, to last 10 months in case they got caught over winter. As I mentioned, the route that they took, they knew, dropped by a mile from start to finish vertically. One modern day river guide suggests that in order to get an idea of the scale involved, think of yourself sitting in a boat on the sitting room of your floor of your sitting room at home. And the waves are as high as the ceiling on the room upstairs. Simultaneously, you are sitting on the roof of your house, looking down 20 foot into a black churning hole that is wanting to suck you in. All this while navigating boulders the size of houses in the river as well. Powell's strategy was simple. Ride the rivers, the rapids that they could, and portage around those he deemed were too dangerous. This process itself was backbreaking. unloading the boats, lifting out 3.5 tons of equipment and food, carrying these boats over wet, dangerous, slippy rocks. We've already mentioned the size of them. And then going back, carrying 3.5 tons of food over, reloading the boats and carrying on. It was back-breaking. 2 weeks into their trip, disaster struck. One of the boats, carrying a third of all the food, was caught in a rapid side-on, flipped and smashed into a huge boulder, breaking it apart instantly. The three men in it, struggling to stay alive, keep their heads above the water, hanging on to the remains of this boat. They were dragged through two rapids. Working together, they managed to keep each other afloat, and they managed to rescue each other and survived. That evening, they all sat around a fire, with the loss of one boat and a third of all their food, and they were 2 weeks into their journey. Over the next month, the number of portages was considerable, and even despite the loss of this boat and its contents, the men still grumbled about the amount of weight of food that they were carrying, complacent about their supplies, not realising that the continual wetting and drying was actually rotting the food. Back in our days of our former association, we had food aplenty, church groups in pretty much every major Western city, sermons, Bible studies, spokesmen's clubs, ladies' clubs, YOU, YES, SCP, church outings, Plain Truth, Worldwide News, correspondence course, booklets. When the food was there, were we also complacent about the fact it would last forever? On July the 1st, Powell's team came to an area where a rough trail actually provided a way out of the Grand Canyon, the one place on their route that pretty much offered this. They hiked out for 3 days so they could stock up on their food from an Indian agency and then came back again, all but one man. He was one of the men that had almost drowned on this first capsize. He decided enough was enough. But the rest of them restocked, not with everything that they wanted, but a meagre amount of their shopping list, carried on. The more dangerous phase of their expedition was about to start. Over the next few weeks, the rapids got bigger and more dangerous. As the Green River merged with the Grand River and the Colorado River, these men were now trapped in the Grand Canyon with only one way out, the way the river went. Just so you can get a comparison and an idea, the Green River flowed at 250 cubic feet per second. On the Colorado, that's a trickle. The normal flow rate of the Colorado is 30,000 cubic feet per second. And at times of flash flood, it can be up to 100,000 cubic feet of water per second flowing round rocks the size of houses. The walls on either side stood up 1,500 feet high. Sometimes there was no shore on which to camp. They actually had to sleep in crevices feet above the raging rapids. Daytime temperatures of 115 degrees Fahrenheit, or 46 for those of us who like real money. 18 hours a day, 7 days a week of hard labour. At the beginning of August, most of their food had either rotted or been lost to the river. The food that remained now consisted of mouldy flour, coffee and dried apple. It was now a race for survival, but the boats were hardly fit for racing. They were having to be patched and repaired at almost every stop. After months of hard labour, 18-hour days, surviving drownings, huge rapids, back-breaking portages, flash floods and near starvation, we arrive at a critical event. But one thing they were now, they had learnt along the way. They were now experts in white water running. At noon on the 27th of August 1869, the 96th day of the expedition, they came to a rapid, in their words, that outdid their worst foreboding. The men pulled to the shore and stared in horror. Powell and his men searched for hours, trying to find a way around this rapid, but to no avail. They could not go around the rapid and rejoin it. 5 days' food remained. There was, however, one choice at this point in time. By luck, there was a route out of the Grand Canyon, a very hard climb up the edge, up the cliff face, and then a 4-day hike through uncharted desert to the Mormon settlements that were known to be in the area. Powell contested with his men that their plan was to go down the whole of the Grand Canyon, not to give up at the last minute, but to hold fast to their goal. In the Shattered Church today, we have been through the spiritual Grand Canyon, negotiating the spiritual rapids, praying for each other, working as a team. The spiritual food in our former association rotted. Trials keep on getting thicker and faster. Has anybody had an easy time of it lately? We are not fighting against raging waters, though. As Ephesians 6 tells us, we are fighting against Satan, a far greater foe than we are. But all along the route, like Paul and his men, we are learning. We are becoming experienced whitewater rafters. One day soon, we will be standing at a rapid which will look as if it is our worst forebodings. Will we look for a way around it? Or will we stick to the river, the way, the path that our elder brother has already trodden? Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And in Hebrews 13, we won't turn there. For he has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is taken from Joshua 1. So if we turn, now that you've all found Hebrews, if we turn back to Joshua 1, because this is where Hebrews 13 is taken from. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Dropping down to verse 5 of Joshua 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not forsake you or leave you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That night, back in 1869, Powell gathered his team together to explain his plan. They would lower their boats past the first waterfall, ride the rapid to the head of the second waterfall, then squirt down a chute that they had already spotted down the right-hand side. Finally, they would pull for their lives to cross across the river to avoid the channel-blocking boulder which the angry river wanted to fling them into. It was perhaps, in their words, more of a prayer than a plan. Three of the expedition members decided it was folly to try and negotiate this rapid, and almost certain drowning. Despite Powell's best pleading to persuade them to stick together and to follow the path, the following day these three team members parted ways. These waterfalls are now called Separation Falls. The remaining six men took two of the three boats, pushed out into the current, and I'll read their words now. Dashing out into the boiling tide, with all the courage we could muster, the sister boat raced along the foot of the wall, scraping against a boulder, then plummeted over a fall, careened into waves at its foot. Filled with water, a huge boulder loomed downstream, blocking the channel's right side. Caught in the torrent, headed for the rock face, Hall and Hawkins pulled for their lives, desperate to get across the current and to the left of the boulder. The waves grew so large, there was nothing to do but to hold on to the boats. Somehow, it happened so fast, they could not figure it out. They were safely by, bobbing in the choppy waters at the rapid's downstream end. Both boats had nearly been swamped, but they were right side up. Everybody was safe, and on this occasion they hadn't even lost an oar. It had taken perhaps 1 minute. Turn with me, please, to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, very, very well known to us, starting in verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Pal, the one-armed Civil War veteran, and his team set out to explore the Grand Canyon. Despite huge hardships, they had navigated one of the most difficult rivers in the world. None of them had any boating experience to start with, but by the end, they were experts, probably the world's best experts, in white water navigation. They had been chosen by Powell, as I said, for their skills and experience in survival. They were mountain men, they were hunters, they knew how to survive. We are the weak of the world, chosen by God, called out of this world to run a race, to live a way of life, to qualify to rule under Christ. We have the spiritual Grand Canyon to navigate, but at the end, when everything is just too much and a certain drowning is ahead of us, will we take an alternative route? Will we try and hike out of the Grand Canyon to the nearest settlement? Or will we rely on Christ, who has promised never to leave us or forsake us? Our elder brother is the God who brought his people out of the land of Egypt. Pal and his six fellow explorers achieved their goal 24 hours later and exited the Grand Canyon. They had covered over 1,000 miles, navigated 414 bad rapids, endured 62 back-breaking portages, overcome all the odds and won. So what happened to the three men who hiked out of the canyon at the last minute? Their bodies were found several days later. They had been shot dead. Satan is out there seeking whom he may devour. So let us hold fast to the way and overcome. And on this day we will rise up and meet Christ in the air as he returns to take his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the true ruler of this world.